Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Sports Urban Legend, along with my co-host, McCarthy Matthew. I'm, of course, William Ramo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, man. How's it going?
I'm doing good, man. Glad to have you on the show, as always, man.
Glad to be on here, as usual.
And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for checking out the latest episode of Sports Urban Legend. Again, he's McCarthy Matthew. I'm, of course, William Ramo. And on today's show, we're going to talk about the Knicks, who, you know, they've had a great road trip. Yeah, they had a bump in the road Friday night. But we're gonna pose a good question. Are the Knicks really a good team, or are they really a good team in the making, or are they a fluke, this start that they have so far? We'll also talk about, you know, the Nets, the Jets, you know, press conference with, you know, their new head coach, Robert Saleh. We'll preview the NFC and the AFC championship games that are coming tomorrow. And, you know, we'll also talk about what else is going on in sports and entertainment. And, of course, if you'd like to, you know, talk to us, the number is 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So feel free to talk about any of these topics and more. You know, we'd love to hear from you. But before, we lead off with, you know, what I was planning on to lead off the show with, you know, the Knicks, the Road Warrior Knicks. Unfortunately, these past couple of days, the sports and entertainment world has been rocked by two legends in their respective entertainment fields passing away. And, of course, I am referring to the passing of Hammering Hank Aaron and, of course, you know, Larry King. So, you know, of course, you know, our thoughts and prayers go out to their families. And, you know, basically, yeah, it's a huge loss for, you know, two icons in the entertainment business. You have Hank Aaron, you know, a man who you know, was a good man, but, you know, he felt, you know, he faced a lot of persecution because of the color of his skin. And, you know, that highlighted when he attempted to try to break what many people considered at that time an unbreakable record. And that was, of course, surpassing what seemed to be insurmountable 714 home runs by the late Babe Ruth in 1974. And here is the moment.
One ball in no sight, and waiting to have to get beaten straight away. Fast ball is a high five to the deep left center field. Booster goes back to the fans, and it's gone.
Vin Scully, and I think there was another memorable call by Milo Hamilton, right?
Yes.
The one where he says, you know, there's a drive, and there's a no-home run chant, and it's Henry Aaron. You know,
that's the one that sticks in my head the most when I think of Hank Aaron.
Yeah, two iconic calls on, you know, Hank Aaron's 715th home run. Of course, he would finish his career and at 755. So, I mean, a very accomplished man. You know, you think of Henry Aaron, you think of the type of man he was, the work ethic he had on and off the field. And of course, you know, the 755 home runs. But the strangest thing I found out yesterday was that do you know how many home run, do you know how many hits he has?
How many?
Yeah, it will surprise you, because if you subtract the 755 home runs, let's just say for argument's sake, he never hit, you know, 755 home runs. This guy, he hit 3,771 hits.
Wow.
So, I mean, this guy was going to make it into the Hall of Fame.
Either way.
This guy did not only have 755 home runs, knocked in a record setting 2,297 RBIs, runs batted in. This guy hit 3,771 hits. Like that surprised me. I always assumed that he had like maybe 2,000 hits, or you know, maybe above it, maybe 250 at the most. But this dude almost had 4,000 hits.
Well, you know, he had some longevity. I mean, he played for 21 years, I think, right?
No, he played 23 years in the big leagues.
Oh, well,
and
then,
he was
relatively
healthy. You know.
Yeah, so it's a lot of years to play, and you know, your numbers do increase.
Yeah.
The more you play, but yeah, I mean it's a lot of hits over a career.
Yeah, I mean this guy, he was able to stay healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, he won MVP award in 57, which was a memorable year for him and the Milwaukee Braves. And, of course, you know, they won the World Series. Do you remember what team they faced?
Repeat that again?
He won the NL MVP award when he, you know, that year. And he also hit the pennant-winning home run to clinch the pennant.
Oh, in 1957, you mean?
Yes, and as a result, he won his first and only World Series. Do you know against who?
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, come on, man, it's the Yankees.
Of course, the New York Yankees. He defeated the New York Yankees. His team defeated the New York Yankees in 7 games, and that was only title in. You know, for the Milwaukee Braves, because
yeah.
Braves, you know, they won. I think they won titles pretty much every place they went. The Boston Braves, Milwaukee Braves, and then of course the Atlanta Braves. And he was a teammate of a guy you hold very dear to your heart, Joe Torre, and his brother Frank.
Yeah, right. You know, I heard a story, and Joe Torre can vouch for this story as well. Allegedly, Hank Aaron would have gone to the New York what team was the Giants? I think it was. He could have gone to the New York Giants and been a teammate of Willie Mays.
Wow.
Yeah. You could have a Willie Mays, Hank Aaron combo, but he turned them down because the Braves offered him $100 more.
Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, $100 more back in the day was a lot.
Oh, yeah. Man, that would have been impressive.
Yeah.
Because
so
that's the guy he's always compared to. I mean, you know, they were good friends, you know, but, you know, they were always compared to each other because of their...
Yeah. Yep.
You know, their swagger and the way how they played the game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Willie Mays, you know, he finished with 660, you know, as a member of the Mets, you know, at the tail end of his career.
Right. Yeah. Very similar careers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, unfortunately, we lost a lot of baseball legends, you know, for these past 2 years. It's been insane. Yeah, Don Sutton passed away too. not too long ago too. You know, rest in peace to him as well.
Yeah,
Del Negro. You know, of course, Seaver, Lawson, Gibson, Brock.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just like the pantheon of Cooperstown's best. You know, we've lost them in just in this past calendar year. I mean, it's crazy.
Sad.
You know, rest in peace, Hank Aaron. And, you know, this guy, he, like I mentioned, he faced a lot of racism, death threats, just because he was playing the game he loved, you know. And, you know, he wasn't able to enjoy it. I even heard if you saw the footage, the iconic footage, which I'm assuming a lot of you have, you know, since you're watching this sports show right here, while he's rounding third, there's two, young white guys who are, you know, running to congratulate him. But at that time, obviously, he didn't know who they were, so he didn't know if they were trying to kill him or whatnot, because apparently they had, from what I've heard, they had sniper, you know, on the ready in case if someone was going to try to do something to him. But, you know, luckily nothing, you know, happened to him. And, you know, we had that epic moment in 1974 when he did the impossible.
Yeah, it was definitely one of the most memorable moments, that 7-15 home run. But yeah, we lost a legend, and my condolences go out to him and to his family, you know?
Absolutely, man.
Well, it's Larry King's.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I thought some condolences go out to, you know, Hank, you know, the Aaron family. And then, of course, the same as well for Larry King. I mean, the guy, you know, was an icon in the, you know, in the TV business. You know, he had the Larry King life for many, many decades, and, you know, on CNN. But, you know, unfortunately, you know, he passed away. Was he 86 also, or was he 87? Because Henry Aaron,
I think they were both 87, I think.
Because Henry Aaron, he was 86. He was 2 weeks away from his 87th birthday. And Larry King, let's see.
Yeah, that's what I noticed. I noticed that they're both, well, Larry King, I think, was 87, yeah.
Yeah, yes, 87, right. Because, like, again, Henry Aaron was gonna turn 87 in 2 weeks from now. But, yeah, rest in peace to these icons. Let me see. Apparently, he did the Larry King Live since 78. And, but it began, I think that was the radio version. Let me see.
And, you know, Larry King is a Brooklyn boy. You know, he's born in Brooklyn.
Yeah, born and raised in Brooklyn. He was a Dodger fan.
Yep. Followed him all the way to L.A.
Yep. And
when he won that championship last season.
Yeah, he was able to see that. Oh, yeah, and Tommy Lasorda. You know, another icon passed away. Both of them were able to see their beloved Dodgers, you know, win it all. Snapped that drought since 88. So yeah, Larry King Live. He started his run on CNN in 85, and 2010 is when he aired his last episode, December 16, 2010. After iconic 25-year run. And he interviewed the who's of every walk of life, especially on the entertainment side of things. So, you know, rest in peace, you know, Larry King.
Yeah. Rest in peace.
You know, switching gears to the Knicks, and you know, the Knicks, they, you know, they've been playing well. They've led the league in defense. Randall, he's been scoring a ton. Like, this guy is a walking triple double. I mean, if you would have told me that from last year, from a guy who obviously he was scoring his points, like probably like 20 to 25 points a game or so, but I mean, he would turn the ball over. I mean, if his turnovers were counted, you know, that he would have had a triple, he would have had a double double every night, you know, last year. But you know, thank God he's bought into the Tom Thibodeau system and got that come to Jesus moment and turned his career around. I mean, he's passing the ball, he's rebounding. I mean, he's like the Knicks point forward. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, he's had a great year so far. Definitely an all-star this year, for sure. And yeah, having him play at point forward has, you know, put less pressure on the point guards. And yeah, he's passing out of the double teams, passing out of the post, bringing the ball up down the court, and scoring in the paint. I mean, yeah, he's doing it all this year for us. And his defense has improved as well. He needs to cut back on the turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
He's still turning the ball over and making some bad decisions at times. But yeah, man, he's, without him, you know, where would the Knicks be? You know?
Yeah, I'd hate to find out, because that was my wish. I want him off the team because he was just turning the ball over.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I didn't want him to just, you know, get rid of him like that, but, you know, I just thought he was just a detriment to the team, you know, the way how he was playing, even though he was always a talented guy, you know, obviously. But the way he was playing last year was just, it was abysmal, man. But, you know, credit to him, you know, he turned it around, and he's leading the way. I mean, this guy should be an all-star, you know.
Yeah. I mean, even last year, you know, I thought he had potential. I mean, his numbers last year, his numbers on any other team, his numbers are good numbers, you know. But, you know, in New York here, we have high expectations.
Absolutely.
For players. So, but he's living up, you know, to his potential and playing really well. And RJ Barrett's starting to play well also.
Yeah, he had a career high just a few days ago against the Warriors. Scored 28 points. And Randall was just an assist shy from another triple-double.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what can you say? Randall, he's been playing great. Randall, Barrett, Robinson, Rivers, whenever he plays. But IQ, man, quickly, man, he's been quickly making a case to start in the point guard. Starting point guard. You know, Alfred Payton has his flashes. Sometimes he does well, sometimes he struggles. Like he did Friday night, where he only scored 7 points. But yeah, quickly, man. I mean, he did on Friday night as well. To be fair, but yeah, he's you could definitely see he's developing into the point guard we needed, man. He's the steal of the draft, man. And he got that floater, that teardrop floater with one hand. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Say it again.
And I said, quickly, he got like this patented one-handed floater that he just likes to drop on him.
Yeah, I mean, this guy, I love this guy, man. He's quickly becoming a fan favorite.
He doubt about that. Then I'm ting.
Yeah, I wish he could start, but, you know, Peyton has more experience right now, and I think trying to groom quickly, I think eventually quickly will start. But in due time, you know, in due time. Gotta be patient.
Yeah, I'd like to see him start, you know, so he can at least be in the running for Rookie of the Year, you know. He's been doing his thing.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, Knicks, they gotta bounce back. They had their 3-game winning streak snapped to the Kings. Kings had their 4-game losing streak snapped to the Knicks. And the Knicks fell to 8-9. They're currently 8th in the Eastern Conference, and the Kings, not so much. They improved to 6-10. They're 12th, currently ranked 12th in the Western Conference, and they defeated the Knicks 103-94.
The Knicks, you know, they're still in good shape. You know, they're on the 500 at 8-9, but you know, they're playing much better than last year by far.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it just got to continue.
Dude, we even talk about Mitchell Robinson. That's how good the Knicks are doing. Like,
oh yeah, he's also playing well.
He was even in the conversation. Like, that's how good this guy has been developing.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, props to the whole Knicks team. You know, buying into Thibodeau and the rest of the coaching staff, what they're trying to do. They're stressing defense, and you know, the Knicks are playing hard. I mean, they've had their moments where they've kind of been lackadaisical, and they've kind of been back to the same old Knicks post 2001 Knicks. You know, where they don't play defense and teams score on them. Then they go on a run to come back, and then the other team blows them out. You know, we kind of had that, you know, a few games this year, you know, where they go on runs, and then, you know, then at the final seconds of the game, they go on a run, but it's a little too late. They kind of had that a little bit last night's game. In the fourth quarter, I think they cut it. They had a huge lead, and I think it was like a 13-point lead. I can't remember. It got cut down to 2, and then the Kings pulled away and by like 11 or so, hitting 3, like a dagger 3 to put them up by 11, and that was basically all she wrote for the Knicks.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Knicks, they've been a road warrior team. I think they're what, 5-4 on the road so far. The Knicks, I mean, they're not that far off, at MSG. But, you know, I just got to give them credit, you know, that the Knicks, you know, they're actually playing to the expectations that the Knicks fans have of them. And look at that. I mean, Randle had another double-double, 26 and 15, you
yep.
know. So let's go Knicks. Let's keep it going. Let's keep developing quickly, you know. The Knicks, you know, they definitely have something. You know, they're definitely not a fluke. You know, they're leading the league in the NBA. For the Knicks to have a chance, they got to play D. So props to them that they're actually doing it, you know. Anything you'd like to add to the Knicks before we move on?
No, I mean, yeah, they just got to keep playing. Yeah, got to keep up with that defense, you know, leading the league in field goal percentage. And, yeah, I mean, this year's team looks way better than the past, you know, these past several years that, you know, lousy basketball that we've seen for the Knicks. But I just hope they can continue to play. You know, so far, so good. I mean, they're 8-9, but, I mean, can you ask for anything better than what they've done, compared to the last several years? So I think we're in a good position right now.
Last couple of decades.
Yeah.
Other than that, what, 2013 season with Cade and Chandler?
Yeah, they're this year, I think it's very promising. They could make the playoffs maybe as a 7 or 8 seed, you know?
Yeah. They're currently on the 8th right now. So I got time to go in this abbreviated 72-game season. But, yeah, let's see. Hopefully Knicks can, make the playoffs, even though, you know, obviously, you know, generally speaking, I don't want my teams to make it to the playoffs unless they have a legit chance of winning. But the Knicks, they really need some positive reinforcement. So making the playoffs, you know, no pressure on them. Just see what they do. You know, the Knicks really need that. The franchise, the fan base, they really need it. And hopefully this will eventually attract some people to help this team out. But, yeah, shifting gears, the Nets. Yeah, the Nets, I mean, they lost a couple of games, but they did rebound tonight. They won by the final score of 128-124. Kevin Durant, he scored 31 points. Joe Harris had 23 points. Harden almost had a triple-double, 12 points, 11 assists, 7 rebounds. Kyrie Irving, you know, the same, 28, 7 assists and 6 rebounds. So, I mean, they had a good collective effort by the Nets team. Prior to that, they had a couple of games where, you know, they weren't playing any defense. I mean, obviously, they weren't playing defense tonight. I mean, they won 128-124. But at least this time they were on a winning record, you know, winning side of, you know, tonight. So, but the problem is that the Nets, man, do they preach defense? I mean, they need to get some defensive players if they seriously want to make a run for a championship, you know, because they got great scorers. You know, I'm not worried about Durant. Durant, he's doing his thing, especially for a guy who missed all of last year. Kyrie Irving, you know, he gets his head right and just focus on basketball, you know, he'll be fine. But, you know, James Harden, man, he's not having a good look right now. I mean, he scored, I mean, not today, but, you know, he's had some scoring games. I mean, that's not what you worry about, but they really need to commit to defense. And with Steve Nash as the head coach, who wasn't a great defensive point guard in his own right, and then of course Mike D'Antoni, his head coach, which I mean we all know, you know, some people call him Mike Antoni because he doesn't teach any D. So right now, you know, it's not looking good for the Nets right now. I mean, Nets have the potential if they could play defense and just play to the stat sheet of what you expect them to make, you know, what you expect them to do on a basketball court year in and year out. I mean, they're gonna have a great team, but they gotta buy into playing defense.
Well, on paper, the Nets look like a championship team. Mm-hmm. You know, they have the superstars. They don't have much of a bench because they traded mm-hmm. them away. But the question is gonna be, you know, for all these scorers between Kyrie, Kevin, and James, like, who's going to pass the ball, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's already, like, you know, rumors that there might be issues between Harden and Kyrie, you know? But I think the Eagles on that team, that's going to be a big issue.
Mm-hmm.
And can they overcome that? Can they overcome the selfishness, you know,
mm-hmm.
between all three superstars and, you know, try to lead this Nets team to a championship? So there's some questions right now. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, they definitely have a chance, you know, to be the top team in the Eastern Conference.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see if, you know, they can go to the NBA Finals because, you know, those moves that the Nets made for James Harden,
mm-hmm.
it's win now.
Yep.
You know, it's a win now move, you know. So if they don't win now with this group of three, then they'll never win.
Yep, exactly. Facts. Because, you know, both of the teams like this, it's always about a superstar named Kevin. So, you know, first it was Kevin Garnett with Paul
yep.
Pierce. Now, you know, it's Kyrie Irving and, you know, James Harden and Kevin Durant. Man, if this doesn't work, they're gonna have to go with another blueprint and try to trade for Kevin McAllister because, you know, they're gonna be home alone without a title if they keep it. If they don't play no D.
Yep.
So hey, we'll see what happens. You know, they have the talent. If they play D, and share the ball, I mean, they'll be a real scary team. So, you know, time will tell. Oh, but one good thing for the Nets, you know, unfortunately, because Spencer Dinwiddie is gone for the rest of the year, the NBA was merciful enough to give them a disabled player exception. I think it's like $5.7 million. So they have up until April, sometime in April, I forgot the date, to sign a player, you know, to replace Dinwiddie on their roster. So they really got to take advantage of it because they really need like a Draymond Green on their team to like solidify the defense and be that enforcer, you know, a Rodman type guy that, you know, these guys can try to, you know, score, but all he cares about is getting the ball. I mean, DeAndre Jordan on paper should be that guy, but he's just way up there, you know.
Yeah.
He can't do that. I mean, they really need a young guy who's just, you know, very athletic, or a veteran, a hungry veteran who really wants to get that title, you know.
Yeah.
You know, we'll see
yeah.
what happens. They can't miss it. They cannot miss this, that opportunity that they got.
Agree with that.
And shifting gears to baseball, you know, of course, the other big news this week was basically George Springer basically playing the Mets and going. A guy who wanted to play closer to home in Connecticut, you know, he wanted to hear that, oh, Canada. Once he got that money, that Canadian money, he's like, man, forget New York, man. Please, man. I'm going to Canada. You know, so basically he took his talent and he's going to Canada, you know. And apparently, you know, as you all would assume, it's all about the money. Apparently, Mets was only willing to give him 6 years and $120 to $125 million. But yet the Blue Jays, who are an extremely talented team and, you know, very desperate to get stars to come to their franchise, you know, they gave him 6 years, $150 million, you know, to come over there. So it was a matter of, what, $25 million, you know. That's what we made him, you know, go to, you know, to the Blue Jays. What's your thoughts on this whole thing, being a Yankee fan and as a fan of baseball in general?
Well, you know, I thought the Mets should have, like, pursued Springer really hard, you know. That should have been, I think, their number one priority, to go after Springer. And then, you know, try to focus on some of the other guys that were out there. But, yeah, you know, now it looks like Springer is going to be a Blue Jay. And, you know, Blue Jays, they have a young team, a young up-and-coming team. I think Springer in that group of players, you know, he's definitely going to help them. And, you know, they're going to be a tough foe for the Yankees and the Rays. And then in that American League. So, yeah, you know, it's a good move for the Blue Jays. I think it's a lost opportunity for the Mets, you know, but there's still some guys out there I'm hearing. Maybe even a guy like Yasiel Puig I'm hearing might be traded, you know, so that's something that's maybe a landing spot for either one of these New York teams. Maybe we see Puig as a Met or a Yankee.
Well, the rumor I'm hearing right now is that, you know, he's most likely going to sign with the Yankees, you know, because he has the same agent as Bauer, who you know, is rumored to be one of the teams, you know, Mets is one of the teams he's interested in. You know, the rumors is that Bauer might sign with the Dodgers or. Was other team, I think was it Blue Jays too? I'm trying to remember what was the other team. Trying to think. Let me see, what was the other team? It was Mets. Angels.
Oh.
Angels, and the third team was the Dodgers. So far, the rumor is that the Mets, you know, are interested in signing a shorter-term deal with him, 4 years maximum. It could go as low as 1 year, but give him at least 30, or go up to 4 years with him. You know, so yeah, we'll see what happens with that. You know, having Bauer would be a great signing for the Mets. You know, that will definitely deepen their rotation and give them one of the best, if not the best, rotation in the game if they did that move. Because you would have had DeGrom, Bauer, Syndergaard when he comes back, you know, in June. Optimistically thinking, you have Stroman, Carrasco, who was a throwaway in that Lindor trade, which, I mean, that was a guy I was, you know, zeroing in on, you know, if they would miraculously ever pull off the Lindor trade, because everybody was assuming he would go to the Yankees, you know. But Carrasco was a guy I always had my eye on, potentially that they should go make a trade for him, you know, if they couldn't pull off Lindor. But fortunately for them, they were able to get both. But I think as a result of getting Lindor, they felt like they couldn't break the bank even further, because apparently if they went over the 120 or 125 million that they were willing to spend for Springer, this would lessen their chances of re-signing Conforto and or Lindor. Not to mention Syndergaard and Stroman are both potential free agents at the end of this year. I think they should have went after Springer, man. They should have got him. It stings, man. You know, because he would have solved all their problems. He's a clutch hitter. I mean, obviously his best years are under question. You know, from 2017 to 2019 were his best years, and of course, you know, his former team Astros are under that cloud of suspicion. You know, but you know, you got a guy who plays great defense, clutch in the postseason, and won a title, obviously, under some suspicious intent. But, you know, they would have had a guy who won a title. And, you know, that would have definitely been a good feather in the cap for the Mets. You know, that would have definitely made the offense splash. Because right now they have a good offense, but putting Springer on that offense, like, That would have been like an 86 offense right there.
Yeah.
I mean, or 06 or 99 or even 2000. Like, it would have put them on that level, you know, of guys who are potentially, you got guys who could be potentially all-stars in every position practically, you know, which is something that's not very foreign for you, Mac, being a Yankee fan, having all stars in every position, even on the bench.
Yeah.
You know. But you know, what can, like I said last week, I can't pencil Springer or Bauer, you know, into the starting lineup or rotation, because, you know, it ain't official until it's official. And unfortunately, you know, I try to prepare myself that there was a possibility that both of these guys are not coming here, you know. But, you know, as a Mets fan, you know, you got to believe. So,
never know.
There was that possibility, right? With Springer, that possibility is gone, you know. But hopefully with Bauer, you know, Mets will seal the deal. You know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, Bauer is, he's hoeing on the Twitter right now to be on one of these teams. So stay tuned.
Well, I mean, he's a modern day Roger Clemens. You know, he'll go to any team. You know, he feel will help him win a title and give him the most money. And you know, that's basically what it is, man. As long as he can help us win a title, you know, that's at the end of the day. However long he wants to stay, you know, I'm cool with it. You know, as long as he wins the title, you know.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't. He seems like a very business type guy. Like your boy Clemens, you know, it's like, hey, whoever's going to help me win, just show me the money and I'll play for you guys. If you got, you know, like LeBron James, you know, you know, it's all about winning the title, making money, and then just, you know, move on to the next team. You know, that's how it is in sports nowadays. So hopefully if he does come to the Mets, you know, he'll help them win the title. And I wouldn't be mad at that. But
if the Mets were to get Bauer, so you have Bauer, Syndergaard, DeGrom,
mm-hmm.
Stroman.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't there another pitcher in there that I'm missing?
Well, actually, what's his name? Syndergaard. He's gonna be gone for the first half of the year. But David Peterson, he had a great rookie year last year. Also, he's going to be battling with Steven Matz if he's on the team because, you know, he didn't have a great year this past year. His other 2 years he showed some promising signs, but this year might be the swan song for Steven Matz if he's not traded in some unforeseeable trade or. You know, he's going to have to battle it out with Peterson or the guy they just got, Lucchesi, the guy from the, I think, what team was he from? The Pirates, I think? Oh, it was the Padres. I can't even remember.
I think probably the Pirates.
Yeah, I can't remember. Supposedly the Yankees are close to getting Talion, you know, who's a promising starter in his own right. Let me see where he's from. Yeah, Joey Lucchesi. He was a San Diego Padres pitcher. You know, he has a lot of potential. He grew up a Oakland A's fan. But on January 19th, just a few days ago, he was traded to the Mets. Yeah, now that I think about it, he was traded to the Mets, I think the same day when the whole Jared Porter situation went down. But yeah, part of this trade, Lucchesi, he got traded to the Mets, part of a three-team deal that sent Joe Musgrove to the Padres, and David Bendar, Omar Cruz, Drake Fellows, Hudson Head, and Andy Rodriguez, who was a prospect of the Mets, to the Pirates. Back to the Porter situation. Yeah, man, that was it was messed up what he did to her. You know, texting her those lewd comments and images, man. That's crazy, man. I mean, you know, apparently it happened like 5 years ago when he was working with the Cubs, and it's just a messed up situation, and you know, unfortunately, the lady had to deal with that situation, and you know, as a result, the Mets had to fire two people before a game started. Last year was Beltran because of the Astros controversy, and now Porter because of his perverted actions that he did as a member of the Cubs. I mean, you know, the Mets had no choice but to get rid of him because, I mean, you don't as good and potentially, you know, good that Porter would do, you know, as a Met, I mean, it's just it obviously it's negated by the horrible actions that he did a long time ago. So, yeah, that's my thoughts on that.
Yeah, Cohen, you know, he's trying to, you know, he's trying to clean up the team right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that means, you know, having zero tolerance for
mm-hmm.
anyone in the Mets organization that does anything to make the Mets look bad.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I agree with the move. You know, it's something that had to be done, you know. Because
mm-hmm.
If you didn't, then there'd be the distraction surrounding the team,
mm-hmm.
you know, about, you know, those text messages sent
mm-hmm.
you know, to that reporter. So they have to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. No doubt about that, for sure. Shifting gears. The Jets. They had their, you know, their new head coach revealed in a press conference. You know, of course, Robert Saleh, longtime, you know, defensive coordinator with the 49ers. And, you know, as you expect, this guy, you know, he's you know, committed to winning. And he wants to turn around the franchise. And, you know, he said all the right things. You know, he's going to try to win the championship, you know, with the team. Obviously, they're hoping Michael LaFleur could make Darnold bounce back from the Adam Gase era. But now there's even bigger rumors with Deshaun Watson. You know, he wants to be traded, and reportedly the New York Jets is his top team of choice. You know, they're gonna need, the Texans are gonna need a plethora of first round draft picks from the Jets. And I mean, Deshaun Watson, man, he had a phenomenal year. I think he threw for, like, what, 33 touchdowns and had, like, only 7 interceptions. I mean, this guy, I mean, he was a beast.
Yeah, Watson is a top-10 quarterback in the NFL,
mm-hmm.
you know. And, you know, if Jets can somehow trade for him, I mean, yeah, they're going to have to give up a lot to get
mm-hmm.
him. You know, and then once they get him, you know, Sam Darnold, you know, is going to have to be a backup.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then, but if they do get him, what happens to that pick in this upcoming NFL draft? Would Jets have to give that away also? I would think so. They would have to give that away.
Yeah, that would be my assumption that they would have
you know,
to give him up.
But it could be very risky, you know, if they do give up their future for Deshaun.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but hey, he's a talented guy. You know, he's worth a lot, so.
Yeah.
I mean, if you were the Jets, what would you do?
Man, I mean, I've been the biggest Sam Darnold supporter, you know. Even with the whole Trevor Lawrence situation going down until the Knicks miraculously won a few games this season at the wrong time. But, you know, yeah, they gotta do what they can. I mean, it would be cool if they could somehow get Watson and keep Darnold even as a backup. That would be the ideal situation. But I doubt. I think they would want Darnold. You know, if you're gonna give up a guy like, you know, if you're gonna give up a proven guy like Watson, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
And not to mention, you know, picks. They're gonna try to fleece them like the you know, the Rockets, you know, they would with the Nets trade, you know, draft pick wise, you know, they're gonna want a lot of draft picks. So, you know, we'll see what happens with that. And you know, this upcoming Sunday, they're going to have the AFC and the NFC championship games. You're going to have the Buccaneers, Tom Brady and the Bucks. They're going to try to invade Green Bay and the Packers. So you're going to have a epic duel between Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. And man, that's going to be an iconic matchup, you know. So yeah, I'm thinking Brady and the Bucks, you know, they're going to defeat Aaron Rodgers even in Lambeau Field, which is, I mean, that's practically unheard of. But you know, Tom Brady, he has that resume, and last week I went against his resume, and you know, he's still here. I got egg in my face, and he's still here. So unfortunately, I'm rooting for the Packers, but knowing me, when I root for a team, especially my own team, they usually lose. So I'm picking the Bucks to defeat the Packers in Green Bay.
Well, I'm going with the Packers. You know, Aaron Rodgers has been playing lights out this year. Definitely the end of the NFL MVP of 2020. And the Packers, they play great at home, and they play great in cold weather.
Oh yeah.
Buccaneers, they're warm. You know, they're a warm city team.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how they'll fare playing in Green Bay, but it's gonna be a good game. But I think in the end, Green Bay got this. So I'm gonna go with Packers to win it tomorrow.
I hope you're right, but we'll see what happens. And on the AFC side, you got the defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs hosting the Buffalo Bills, the Cinderella story of the NFL playoffs this year. And Patrick Mahomes, you know, he apparently passed his concussion test, so he should be ready to go tonight at 6:40. So and then of course, you know, you got the Bills, you know, they're trying to go to their first their first Super Bowl since what, 93? So I would love to see the Bills. I'm rooting for the Bills to you know, somehow upset the Chiefs, even though I was rooting for the Chiefs last year, you know. But yeah, I think Kansas City, they're gonna go back to the Super Bowl again, back to back years, and then we're gonna have Kansas City Chiefs versus the Bucks. But you, of course, you think it's Chiefs Packers. So I hope you're right.
Yeah, I think Chiefs will win tomorrow, and I think we're going to have a Chiefs-Packers Super Bowl. I mean, Mahomes versus Rodgers, that'd be a great matchup for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that would
happen. So, so we'll see. You know, there'll definitely be some good games later today.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Josh Allen is really proving that you know, he was the quarterback to pick instead of Darnold.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we'll see what happens for sure. Next week when we talk about that. Then we're gonna shift to, you know, wrestling. Randy Orton, he looked like a luchador on Monday Night Raw. You know, as a result of his face getting burnt by Alexa Bliss when she went into Dalsum mode and shot a fireball in his face.
I think that whole thing resembled Cody Rhodes when he had his undashing grotesque face.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like, you know, WWE was just rehashing that again.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went to Twitter and, like, people were making the same comment, you know. Didn't WWE did do this before?
I know.
And yeah, it just felt like that, you know.
Yeah, exactly, man. Once you said that, I was like, yeah, man, that makes a lot of sense. This is the ripping off the Dash and Cody Rhodes thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's how WWE, man. They just run out of ideas.
Just rehashing old stuff.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what else happened on Raw. I can't even remember. Didn't her business didn't Bobby Lashley defeat he made Riddle tap out, but Riddle defeated MVP or something like that. I can't even remember.
I think so. I forgot all about Raw. What happened again?
We're just having Raw-itis lately, man. Like, Raw has been so uneventful. I mean, other than the Hurt Business, you can't even and New Day. It's like it's just like 3 hours of falling into an abyss. Like you just can't. It's like you're like, what happened to the 3 hours of my life? You don't even remember anything that went down.
Yeah. The Miz and John Morrison, they had Gilbert and Goldberg and Drew McIntyre
right.
on the dirt sheet.
Right. Yes. I forgot about that. Yeah, I think that's just about it. And then on SmackDown was more interesting. They teased the Tribal Chief, Roman Reigns, Council, Paul Heyman fighting Adam Pearce in a match. And, basically Roman Reigns, got his revenge, because last week, Roman Reigns was surprised that he's going to be fighting Kevin Owens in the last man standing match in the Royal Rumble on the 31st, upcoming pay-per-view event on the 31st. And Paul Heyman faked the injury, a leg injury, and basically Roman Reigns fought against Adam Pearce in a non-match because he attacked him before the match ever even had a chance to start. And, Kevin Owens, came out of nowhere and attacked Roman Reigns from the audience. And he stunned him multiple times and even did something I've never seen. I don't think I've ever seen him do it. A pop-up power bomb outside of the ring. Because when he does a power bomb, he usually does like a jackknife power bomb when he's putting someone through, outside.
Right.
But this one was like a legit, like he had like a rebound, into the pop-up power bomb, because the pop-up power bomb, his opponent makes the opponent ricochet off the rope and then he hits it. But what he did was he grabbed him by the arm. He held his hands. Like, kind of like the what movie would I think of? Maybe End of Days. Maybe like you pretend like you know what I'm talking about. Like
yeah,
he grabbed him by the hand and he just did the power bomb.
Yeah.
So they're based that rivalry is heating up. They had the competition between Sasha Banks and
Bayley.
Well, okay, I'll talk about the Sasha Banks one. I was going to talk about the Bayley versus Bianca Belair, but I guess I'll pull it out of the bowl and talk about the Sasha Banks Reggie match. Carmella's Chamelier. And that's a word I've learned just in this past couple of weeks. But anyway, that match was intergender match, but obviously Reggie did not want to be hitting a woman, which I mean I don't blame him. So basically, he was just styling and profiling, doing flips, like if he was what's that guy who was with Bobby Lashley? I can't remember, Leo Rush. And it just WWE, they thought he was gonna look like a jobber, but in actuality he looks like Thanos or Shokan from Mortal Kombat. Like, it was like he was toying with her. Even though he got beat up, he wasn't even attempting to hit her. Obviously he shouldn't, but he looked actually more powerful than she did because he just was doing all these flips. It was like he got, he went, whenever he got hit, he wanted to get hit. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because he's doing all these silent doing all these flips, and you know what I mean? Like, it was just a weird squash match, where a person, is supposed to look, you know, humiliated, like someone fighting against Braun Strowman, totally dominated. But him, he was just toying with her. He was doing sunset flips and all these backwards flips off the ring apron and all this crazy stuff. But yeah, he's getting his butt kicked. It was just, I don't know, was it weird to you watching that?
Yeah, that was weird.
It was awe-inspiring and weird at the same time. It was, I don't know, man. It was like, but let me see what else happened. Bailey versus, what's her name? Bianca Belair.
Oh, man, that was hilarious.
It was, yo, props to Bianca Belair. Like, once they pull out Otis, I'm like, okay. I mean, I know she was going to win. I know Bianca Belair was going to win anyway, because obviously she's the baby face. And in real life, you know, she was a track and field star, and, you know, before she got into wrestling. And, you know, obviously she's a legit athlete, you know. But once they pull out that, once they did the bait and switch with Chad Gable and Otis, I was like, yo, not only does she deserve to win that competition, she deserves to win, like, the Olympics and the Oscar. For her to carry Otis like that, like, come on, man.
Carried Otis, and then she crossed over. She did an Iverson crossover, really.
Yeah, but she crossed over and dunked. Oh, man, that was entertaining. That was more entertaining than her husband, feud, her, you know, her husband, Montez Ford and Angelo Dawkins versus the, what's the name of that group? That Viking group? What the heck is the name of that group? Darn, what's the name of it?
Viking Raiders?
Viking Raiders, yeah, thank you. Yeah, what happened to those guys? They disappeared.
Yeah.
Did they get hurt or something?
Just gone.
Yeah. But yeah, that was, that was actually entertaining.
Yeah, I like that.
That was kind of like the NXT trial stuff that they had, like, way back in the day in the original NXT.
Oh, yeah. Right.
You know, competition.
Right.
Before Nexus was formed. But, yeah, that was phenomenal. Oh, yeah, another quick baseball news before I move to, AEW. And I guess in some extent, Impact Wrestling as well. Like, Brad Hand, he's expected to make his decision very soon. Nationals, Mets, I think Angels are one of the teams he's interested in. So hopefully that could be another guy Mets can get. And then, of course, you know, they might be interested in Jackie Bradley Jr. or Almora from the Cubs. Because, yeah, they definitely need a center field after Springer ditching them like that. But, yeah, to AEW, the main event was the Inner Circle. All the tag team of the Inner Circle, all three of the tag teams, because this group is so huge, it has seven people in it. Like,
wow.
Basically, only Wardlow doesn't have a tag team. It's Jericho and MJF. You have Sammy Guevara and Jake Hager, formerly Jack Swagger. They formed the group. Sammy Hager, which Sammy Hager, the real life Sammy Hager, endorsed the group in a short video before the match. And then, of course, you also had Santana and Ortiz, who are the long running tag team, and they were the de facto tag team of the Inner Circle group before this division between this group. So basically, MJF cheated, and it was a great match. You know, it was an interesting match. You know, seeing all of the members other than Wardlow in the match fighting for, you know, the bragging rights to being the official team of the faction. So basically, they had like an interesting moment of Jericho, you know, resisting to battling his protege, Sammy Guevara, who was his longtime tag team partner in AEW. So he had that hesitation, but then Sammy Guevara went into a Reggie mode and from SmackDown and started like doing like all these flips on him and just embarrassing him. So then he, you know, he had to snap out of it, and you know, that's when they really had to, you know, fight each other. But yeah, it was a great match. MJF ended up cheating he pinned, he grabbed the tights of Sammy Guevara, his longtime rival slash team member, to solidify the victory for him and Jericho. And I think Wardlow interfered also on MJF's behalf, which isn't a foreign concept if you watch AEW. And then also Impact Wrestling, you know, Kenny Omega, he's still teaming up with the Good Brothers, you know, formerly of WWE and the current Impact Wrestling Tag Team Champions. And Kenny Omega cut all ties to his former Elite Brothers, the Young Bucks. So, some interesting stuff going down. I'm trying to think. Oh, yes, Sting and Darby Allin, it's official. They're going to tag team. So Sting's going to make his AEW debut in a tag team match with Darby Allin versus Team Taz, which has Ricky Starks, Powerhouse, Will Hobbs, and Brian Cage. So, some interesting stuff are going down. And Kip Sabian is going to marry his real life girlfriend, fiance, 2 weeks at this. I forgot the name of the pay per view, the event. It's like a Bash at the Beach copycat event 2 weeks from now. I can't remember the name of the thing. It was something at the beach, something beach. I don't know what it's called, to be honest with you. I'm trying to think. What's happened? Miro, formerly known as Rusev, made Chuck Taylor tell Orange Cassidy that they're no longer best friends. You know, so, that was that. Britt Baker, she's going to be battling against Thunder Rosa. That's about it. Johnny Moxley, he wants to regain his title from Kenny Omega, that Kenny Omega cheated to take from him. But that's about it in the world of sports and entertainment. Anything you'd like to say, Mac, before we head out?
Just everyone stay safe out there and. Yeah, just come back, check out Sports River Legend every Saturday at 11, only on Block Talk Radio.
Well, you heard the man. Check out this show, Sports River Legend, every Saturdays at 11. Forgive me. Saturdays at 11. Don't listen to me. Just listen to what I'm telling you right now. So listen, come back here. Saturdays at 11. Do not come at 10 because I'm not going to be there. Come back Saturdays at 11, only on Block Talk Radio. And check out my YouTube channel, Sports and Legend TV. I'll see you guys next week. And hopefully with some good Met news, and like this week. He's Macaulay Matthew, of course. And I am William Ramo, and I'll see you guys next week. Peace. Thank you.
Thank you.